Webster decided on the spot that he liked the Dutch much better than the British or French. In the morning, the march resumed, with 2nd Battalion following 1st Battalion on the road south. On the edge of Eindhoven, a city of 100,000 that rose abruptly from the rich black soil, Colonel Sink spread his regiment, sending 2nd Battalion out to the left, with Easy on the far left flank. Winters gave the order over his radio. "Lieutenant Brewer, put your scouts out and take off." Brewer spread 1st Platoon out in textbook formation, scouts to the front, no bunching up, moving fast. The platoon advanced through truck gardens and freshly plowed fields toward the houses on the edge of the city. There was only one thing wrong. Brewer was in front, with his map case at his side, his binoculars hanging around his neck, obviously an officer. Worse, he was well over 6 feet tall. Gordon thought he looked like a field marshal on parade. He was a perfect target. Winter shouted over his radio, "Get back! Drop back! Drop back!" But Brewer could not hear him. He kept moving ahead. Every man in the company, every man in battalion, could see what was sure to happen. A shot rang out. A sniper had fired from one of the houses. Brewer went down like a tree felled by an expert lumberman. He had been shot in the throat, just below the jawline. Gordon and a couple of other enlisted men ran over to him, even though their orders were to keep moving and leave any wounded for the medics. They looked down at Brewer, bleeding profusely from his wound. "Ah, hell, forget him," someone said. "He's gone. He's going to die." They moved on, leaving Brewer lying there. He heard it all, and never forgot it, and never let the men forget it when he recovered and rejoined the company. After that, there was only light scattered resistance, mainly from snipers. The 506th got into Eindhoven without further difficulty. The Dutch were out to welcome them. Many spoke English. "So nice to see you," they called out. "Glad you have come. We have waited so long." They brought out chairs, hot tea, fresh milk, apples, pears, peaches, orange flags and orange armbands, hidden for years, blossomed on all the houses and shirt sleeves. The applause was nearly deafening. The men had to shout to each other to be heard. "It was the most sincere Thanksgiving demonstration any of us were to see," Webster wrote, "and it pleased us very much." It took most of the rest of the day to push through the crowds to secure the bridges over the Dommel River.